Maverick News presents The Rick Walker Show. Defrag your mind.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Rick Walker. Welcome back to the Maverick News Channel. Lots to share with you today. It's been really busy around here, trying to stay on top of everything. Vladimir Putin saying Russia is ready for nuclear war. We have an update on that teen who was severely beaten in Missouri. Kevin Michelizzi is going to, he's prepared a report on free speech. That's been a subject of focus around here for the past, week or so. So he's done some good work and produced a feature report for us. So we'll share that with you. A billionaire plans to launch the Titanic 2. A man stormed the cockpit of an aircraft in another strange incident in the air. Trump is now the official nominee for the GOP. And Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is trying to decide who his running mate is going to be. It's narrowed down. At this point, it looks like the two most likely candidates have been identified. We'll tell you who they are. We also have a new installment of Maverick Knights, our animated feature series. We'll share that with you. And that video that we... I'm sorry, but Cosmo is going crazy around here. Sorry about all the barking. There he is. Teacher's video I ran last night, no audio. So we're going to take another shot at that. It just highlights the challenges that our education system continues to face and our society in general. I apologize for the audio issues last night. I have to confess, I'm still trying to figure out what the issue is here. There are some things happening within the audio mixer and the computer settings, and they're resetting as the broadcast goes on through the evening on their own. And so it's throwing everything off, and sometimes there's no audio, other times we're getting echo. I'm going to try to monitor that on the fly tonight the best I can, but the audio coming through my headphones is not always the audio that you're getting at home. So I'll do my best with that tonight, and we'll dig into all of these stories when we come back on the other side.
Maverick News. The world is watching.
The information war is raging. Truth without integrity is worth nothing. Maverick News. Because those who have power and those who seek it must be held accountable.
The world is watching.
Join our family of truth seekers. Donate today and add your voice to the chorus of Maverick Knights. Donate at maverickdonations.com. Truth. Integrity. It's the Maverick way. Maverick News. The world is watching.
Okay, so I guess what we'll start with tonight is the story about Vladimir Putin. So he gave an interview, and I'm sorry, I'm trying to deal with a bunch of things on the fly here, so I'm a little bit behind the eight ball, but here's what I can tell you. Some important updates involving Russia, Vladimir Putin. Strong words coming from him for the West today. He mentioned that Russia is technically prepared for nuclear conflict and is warning the U.S. that if they decide to send troops to Ukraine, it would escalate things significantly. Now, again, I've had some things kind of go awry here technically tonight, so I'm going to try and cope the best I can. Speaking ahead of this upcoming election, Putin emphasized that, because he is in an election cycle, Putin emphasized that the scenario of nuclear war was not imminent, but Russia is ready, he says, if it came to that. And he stated this in an interview with Russia One Television and RIA News Agency. Putin made it clear that Russia sees the deployment of American troops to Ukraine as intervention, which Moscow won't take lightly. He also asserted Russia's claim over regions of Ukraine, which it considers as part of its territory. Now, the Biden administration has clarified that they don't intend to send troops to Ukraine, but emphasized the need for a security aid bill to support Ukrainian forces. They haven't responded directly to Putin's remarks yet. A senior Ukrainian official saw Putin's nuclear warning as mere propaganda aimed at intimidating the West. He believes this rhetoric reflects Putin's fear of losing the war, or so he says. Some would say that that's probably propaganda coming from the Ukrainian side. The situation in Ukraine has strained Russia's relations with the West, to say the least, to a level not seen since the Cuban Missile Crisis. That's pretty fair. It's probably worse right now, I would say. Despite Putin's warnings, the U.S. maintains it hasn't seen indications of Russia preparing for nuclear warfare. Now, on another note, Putin reiterated Russia's nuclear doctrine, which outlines conditions for the use of nuclear weapons primarily in response to a threat to the state's existence. He also extended an offer for talks on Ukraine, though the U.S. has doubts about Putin's sincerity in these discussions, or so they say. Recent reports suggest that Putin's proposal for a ceasefire was rejected by the U.S. The director of the U.S. Central Intelligence Agency, William Burns, has warned that, and this coming from him, without more Western support, Ukraine could lose more territory to Russia, which could embolden other global players like China. Putin has stressed that any settlement regarding Ukraine would require written security guarantees that satisfy Russia's concerns. We'll keep on following this. Anytime any of these world leaders mentions nuclear war, of course, people get very, very concerned. Now, I do have a clip here, and I'm going to ask for your assistance on this to see if Indeed, we do get some audio coming through here as I continue to struggle. With these technical issues here tonight. Let me see if I can get you this clip. And this will be our first test of the evening of the audio system. See if it's actually working. Oh, brother. Okay, here we go. My apologies, my dog is barking, my tabs are out of order, my audio system is messed up, the camera got jolted. What else can go wrong on the fly? I lost my spot. I don't even know where the clip went now. There it is right there. Oh, the joys of trying to think of what you're going to say while you're pushing buttons and trying to fix a bunch of problems all at the same time. Nothing prepared me for this. Okay. Here we go. Let's see if we've got audio. You tell me in the chat. No audio. Beautiful. Perfect. I'm so glad there's no audio. Because, you know, if there was audio, that would mean everything was working properly. And if everything was working properly, I wouldn't be losing my mind. So that's fantastic. But you've got subtitles. What more do you want? What more do you want? I'll read to you. How about that? I'll read the clip. Here, I've got another way to, I'll do this. I'll tell you what, I'll do this and I'll click on this thingy here. And I bet you we get audio now. How about this? You tell me, you got audio now?
Быть к этому готовы. Мы действительно готовы к ядерной войне.
Ну, с военно-технической точки зрения, audio. Мы, конечно, готовы. Они у нас audio? Постоянно audio. Находятся. Постоянно. Находится в состоянии боевой готовности.
Well,
это первое.
It.
А второе...
Yes, you got audio. Good, okay.
Можно быть...
All right, we have audio. Okay, how can you be ready for it? Are we ready for nuclear war,
вообще,
he
можно
says?
Быть к этому готовы.
This is the interviewer, Dmitry Kiselev.
Мы действительно готовы к ядерной войне.
Are we really ready for nuclear war, he asks?
С военно-технической точки...
From the technical point of view, of course, says Putin, we are ready.
Презрение. Мы, конечно, готовы. Они у нас постоянно...
Missiles are constantly combat ready. This is firstly.
Постоянно находится в состоянии боевой готовности. Это первое. А второе.
Secondly, and this is accepted by everybody, our nuclear triad.
Это тоже вообще признанная вещь. Наша триада, ядерная триада, она является более
современной,
чем
any
любая
other triad.
Триада. Таких триад только. Вот у нас, да, американцы.
Actually, only us and Americans have a triad.
Мы здесь продвинулись
гораздо больше.
У нас она более современная.
Our triad and the whole nuclear element is more modern.
Вся ядерная составляющая. В целом, по носителям.
In general, if we talk about the carriers and a number of warheads, we are more or less
equal. И по зарядам у нас примерный паритет, но у нас более современный.
But ours are more modern.
Everybody специалисты все
this.
Знают.
All
вообще можно быть.
Alarming talk. Just the fact that we're even sitting here talking about it, it should be rattling our cage. So, and again, because we're having some technical problems here, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to Kevin Michalitzi's report next on free speech. That'll give me a few minutes while... he takes over the show for us and gives you his report so that I can address some of these technical things going on here. And then the show will continue after that. So this is a good report. See, we've had some issues in the chat. We've had some issues in the call-in. We've had some issues with the video call-in portion of the program. We have people complaining. I have people messaging me saying, you're not all about free speech. I have people messaging saying, oh, we won't be silenced. Okay. I hear you. And so did Kevin Michalitzi, I guess. He didn't. I don't know if he did this for us specifically because of the questions surrounding free speech that we've been running into. But it's timely, so we're going to run it. We'll get right into it when we come back after this.
Greetings, brave mavericks. Our quest for truth continues. We go beyond fake news. Together we expose propaganda. Together we pull others out of rabbit holes. We are maverick thinkers. We are all unique individuals, defenders of individual rights and freedoms, credible, trusted, grounded in reality. Maverick News, Maverick News. Defending free speech. Donate at freedomreporters.com. Do it now. Tomorrow may be too late. Maverick News. The world is watching. Is watching.
Okay, again, yes, we're going to get into this report with Kevin Michalitzi here now. Here it is here. And again, if you have, I'm going to monitor the comments here. And if you tell me if you have audio on your end, please. And, just checking the comments here. Okay, here we go. Here's Kevin Michalitzi with his special report on free speech. Hope you guys find this helpful.
Welcome to an episode of InfoWars Press. This is not something I normally would do a video about, but it does pertain to propaganda And it's something that is coming up a lot lately, and that's freedom of speech. What is freedom of speech? Does it allow you to say absolutely anything you want, regardless of how it affects other people? No. And people will point to the the U.S. Constitution in the United States in particular. Many countries have the same constitutional rights guaranteed, such as Russia, India, the UK, but it doesn't apply to every word that you speak. And in fact, not all of your speech is legally protected by the U.S. First Amendment or any other country's right of free speech. Rather, it applies to certain forms of expression, which include written works, online posts, movies, television, symbolic speech like wearing an armband, donating to political campaigns, or liking something on social media. So essentially, freedom of speech protects you from government censorship, not how somebody reacts to what you've said. Federal, state, and local governments are not allowed to censor you, and neither are lawmakers, elected officials, public schools, public universities, courts, police officers. However, private citizens, private institutions, private organizations, and businesses do not need to abide by this law because they are not in the government sector. So, does it mean that YouTube can censor what you say on their platform? Absolutely. Can Facebook, Twitter, these guys censor what you say? Yes. They can't do it at the behest of a government organization, but they themselves can do it because they're private business and are not covered by the First Amendment. A private school can suspend a student for their opinion, for example, or a media company can choose to only broadcast things that align with their personal beliefs. Both are allowed to do so because they're privately owned and operated. Now, what's not protected by free speech for you as an individual? Well, you are not allowed to speak about things like threatening others, threatening to cause harm, blackmail, defamation, child pornography, or anything related to children is not protected by First Amendment speech. Solicitation to commit crimes or encouraging people to commit crimes or showing them how to commit crimes, that can be censored. And there are laws against it in most countries in the world. Incitement of lawless action, plagiarism, perjury, libel, slander, all of these things are not allowed by the First Amendment in the United States or in other countries. Many countries have laws against this, and they're specifically written, and they're based on the UN's Universal Declaration of Human Rights. And I'll read that for you in a second. This is Article 30 of the Declaration of Human Rights. But India has such laws. It is illegal in India to make immoral statements or disrespectful statements towards another. Russia has similar laws. You cannot make defamatory statements against the military. They have similar laws about towards other people. You have to show respect. And this article says, nothing in this declaration may be interpreted as implying for any state, group, or person has any right to engage in any activity or to perform any act aimed at the destruction of the rights and freedoms set forth herein. And this does restrict things like your freedom of speech. It is kind of in an abstract way, but the clause does apply to freedom of speech, because freedom of speech is a fundamental right to the proper functioning of a democracy. It is itself subject to restrictions of both types in different legal texts to safeguard that same democracy. How does a country or a community function properly? It is by people having respectful debate. When you threaten other people, you're not going to have respectful debate. It's anarchy at that point. But if you can sit down, you can disagree about things, you can discuss them, maybe learn other points of views, or even agree to disagree in a respectful manner, that's what is meant by free speech. Now, the United States does not have these laws laid out saying your right to free speech has to follow the UN Article 30. And, you know, it's unfortunate that they don't. However, they have case law that supports this. But there is a dilemma. Freedom of speech as a fundamental right for proper functioning of a democracy where everyone has the right to express themselves, or limit or restrict expression that may jeopardize that same democracy. So, you know, you have to be respectful of other people. That's really what it comes down to. Just, you know, to stay within the boundaries defined by the Constitution itself, you can't do that. You have to go beyond the case law to UN human rights. And, you know, you have to be considerate of other people. So another thing to look at is the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights. And this is in the 19th and 20th articles. The 19th article says, everyone shall have the right to freedom of expression. That right shall include freedom to seek, receive, and impart information and ideas of all kinds, regardless of frontiers, either orally, in writing, or in print, in the form of art, or through any other media of his or her choice. The exercise of the rights provided for in the previous paragraph, paragraph 2 of the article, carries with it special duties and responsibilities. It may therefore be subject to restrictions, but they shall only be such as provided by law and are necessary for the respect of the rights or reputations of others and for the protection of national security or public order or public health or morals. Article 20 says, any propaganda for war shall be prohibited by law. I think we have some Western governments who need to learn from that. And any advocacy of national, racial, or religious hatred that constitutes incitement to discriminate, hostility, or violence shall be prohibited by law. And the difference between opinion and speech hatred could not be more clear and distinct. An opinion is protected by law by the right of freedom of speech. Let's have the European Convention on Human Rights, and it's real explicit in this matter. Article 10, Section 2, the exercise of these freedoms, since it carries with it duties and responsibilities, may be subject to such formalities, conditions, restrictions, or penalties as are prescribed by law and necessary in a democratic society in the interests of national security, territorial integrity, or public safety, for the prevention of disorder or crime, for the protection of health or morals, for the protection of the reputation or rights of others, for preventing the disclosure of information received in confidence, or for maintaining the authority and impartiality of the judiciary. So, you know, free speech does not cover everything you say. Be respectful of others when you give your opinion. And if somebody tells you that they do not welcome your input or your opinion on something, you have to respect that as well. So that's all I have to say on this subject.
And thank you very much for that, Kevin.
Become a versatile and in-demand asset in the workforce with the University of Florida.
Feel the vibrations. Our quest continues. The truth is out there. We are Mavericks.
That girl in Missouri who was beaten severely in that melee remains in a coma tonight. A GoFundMe has been set up for Kaylee. That's her name. No last name released at this time. She is, of course, a minor, so certain protections are in place for the young girl. I'll show you the GoFundMe. It has now reached over $100,000, which is good news. The extent of her injuries not entirely known, but we do know she remains in a coma. She's suffering from a brain bleed. She may have suffered brain damage. In fact, it appears highly likely that that's the case. How severe that damage is won't be known until she regains consciousness, and hopefully she does. She's honestly fighting for her life. This is the GoFundMe. Set up by a friend of the family, Sarah Hall. Sarah says, I am organizing this GoFundMe for Kaylee's family. With heavy hearts, I am asking for support for our beloved Kaylee and family. In minutes, this family's life shattered when their only daughter was assaulted outside of a North County high school. She was left alone on the ground to convulse before EMTs arrived on the scene. She was admitted to one of the local hospitals in St. Louis with a skull fracture and front lobe damage. She has major brain bleeding and swelling and is in critical condition. Kaylee is fighting hard to stay alive and heal, but this is only the beginning of a very uphill battle for Kaylee and her family. We will not know the extent of the brain damage that has occurred until she wakes up. But the path to recovery will be extremely hard on the family, not only mentally but financially. Her mother and father are staying by her side night and day, hoping to bring her back to the Kaylee they know and love. Your support would help with lost wages and piling up medical bills due to intensive care treatment. Every donation, big or small, will go directly towards easing these stressful days, allowing Kaylee's family to be able to be there 100% for her day and night and help with the medical bills that they foresee. Anyone that is or cannot donate now, please keep Kaylee in your thoughts and prayers for a full recovery. Please share this far and wide so that we can reach everyone's hearts in this family's time of need. The overwhelming response from friends, family, and the community has already brought the family to tears. They offer everyone their deepest gratitude. Thank you for coming together for them in this time of need. Looks like about 2,600 people have donated so far. But pretty clear from the severity of the beating, folks, that Kaylee will face a lifetime of challenges, a lifetime, if she survives. This is, I'm going to run the video again, blurred out, for those of you who maybe don't know exactly what I'm talking about. But this is what happened outside of this high school, Missouri Hazelwood, schoolyard fight. Bunch of kids, 15, 16, 17 years old. The two, right at the beginning, Kaylee and this other girl, get into it. And quickly, Kaylee is thrown to the ground. And the other girl smashes her head repeatedly into the sidewalk. I should warn you that this video may be disturbing. It is disturbing, even though it's blurred out, so viewer discretion is advised. I have blurred this out because even though the unedited version is out there, it's just it's too much to watch. Nevertheless, this version I offer you tonight because it does provide the context and shows you how important this story is. So here we go. And again, I advise caution before you watch this. If you don't want to, just look away for about a minute or two, maybe about 2 minutes. Here it is. I took the audio out of there because of the sounds were too much. So I didn't show you a whole lot there, but you could hear the audio. You could see that they were fighting. And, you know, I hope that helps. Missouri's Attorney General says the juvenile system needs to be reformed. A 15-year-old girl has been arrested, facing charges in connection with this, but the Attorney General says that young person should be tried as an adult. There has been some local media attention focused on this. It has resulted in some television coverage and also some coverage on local radio. This is, I believe we have near here now, a clip of the Attorney General, Andrew Bailey, on local radio. It's a local radio station there. I think it's Wake Up Missouri is the name of the program. So I think he addresses the whole issue here. We'll dip into this for just a moment. I tried to vet this previously. I got through a little bit of it, and I think that what we're going to hear at this point is relevant. Here we go.
Fighting with the American people. If we don't have a border, we don't have a country. That's why we're fighting so hard to make Biden do his job.
General Bailey, I appreciate you joining us. We'll certainly keep an eye on that as well. I want to turn our attention to a story you tweeted about over the weekend, and we've reported on it. Just a horrific incident near the Hazelwood East High School. A girl's head several times slammed in the concrete. The video, it's very loud. You can hear it. Reports are that she is in critical condition. And you issued a statement on Twitter. I'm going to read it to you. I'm going to have you elaborate. Quote, "This evil in complete disregard for human life has no place in Missouri or anywhere. I am praying for the victim. The criminal should be charged and tried as an adult. If the victim dies, that offense should rise to a homicide." End of quote. General Bailey, your thoughts on that? You watched that video. What your take?
Look, this is horrific. And we're seeing this happen more and more across the state where juveniles are committing violent crimes. In Kansas City, after the Kansas City Chiefs won the Super Bowl, there were juveniles involved in a shootout. They were well-armed juveniles involved in a shootout at the Chiefs celebration parade. And now we've got a youth in St. Louis on video, you know, repeatedly slamming the head of a victim into the concrete, resulting in serious physical injury. We have got to reform our juvenile system to ensure that these sorts of issues are addressed. Look, if you track the numbers over the past 5 years, the number of youth committed to the Division of Youth Services for treatment under our juvenile system has plummeted to the point that the state of Missouri has had to close and shutter multiple DYS facilities. So the courts aren't doing anything about the juvenile crime. Certainly the number of youth certified to state trial as adults has plummeted drastically. And that number, if anything, should have gone up solely for the fact that several years ago, Missouri raised the age from 17 to 18. The question at a certification hearing is, can the problem be addressed in the juvenile court? If not, do we have to send it to adult court? So there are just fewer services in that age range between 17 and 18, which thereby should result in more certifications, and we're seeing less. So it's time for juvenile court reform. And, you know, I'm going to be following this case closely, and I think there needs to be some accountability in our juvenile system. People are starting to notice, and it's causing problems across the state of Missouri.
General Bailey, I have to ask you, in the wake of Jennifer Crumbly, the mother of Ethan Crumbly, that shooter, school shooter in Michigan, who was found.
Okay. Thank you for keeping me up to date there on the status of the audio as well. So that's very helpful. We'll continue to dig into this story as needed. Now, Missouri is not the only place with some problems. Even in Toronto, as we saw just yesterday, there was a shooting involving a family with multiple deaths. Let me just bring you up to date here now. We have new information coming out about this family, which was at the center of this daylight shooting in Regent Park. Yesterday afternoon, it happened near the corner of Dundas and Parliament. Happened around 1:30 in the afternoon. Left two men dead and a female with non-life-threatening injuries. Now, we do know that Ngoyi Kongolo and Didier Kongolo are now identified as the victims, that through court documents. And the woman who was shot and injured in the incident is the mother of the person who is accused of the crime. Toronto police have announced that 23-year-old Benedict Johnson Kongolo is facing two counts of first-degree murder. He has been remanded into custody. He will appear in court again. He has been arraigned and will now appear in court again March 20th. He's the only person facing charges. No other suspects. Police say They arrested him just a short time after the shooting. They chased him, caught him, took him into custody. And this obviously seems to have something to do with some sort of family dispute or something. But beyond that, we just don't have any other details. And we likely won't get any other information on this until it goes to court and the details are revealed as evidence is presented. Expect publication bans to remain in place until the trial. Donald Trump has made history. He is now the third. I think he's the first one to win the GOP presidential nomination three times. He is now the Republican Party's presumptive presidential nominee. He crossed the threshold of 1,215 delegates last night after winning elections in Georgia, Mississippi, Hawaii, Washington, and after almost completely sweeping Super Tuesday states last week. He's the first candidate to enter the Republican presidential primary, and Trump was out in front from the very beginning, never looked back. Made quick work of most of his opponents. Nikki Haley was hanging in there. Why, I don't know. The writing was on the wall very early, but she continued to challenge him, only just recently dropping out. And it looks like Joe Biden has also clinched his party's nomination. Also within the last 24 hours, you know what this means. It's going to be a showdown between Trump and Biden, a rematch of these two guys. And waiting in the wings is Robert F. Kennedy Jr. So he's a factor in there. What kind of impact will he have? I don't really quite know. I do have a clip of Donald Trump, and hopefully we have audio on this. Let me see if I can pull him up here. Where'd you go, Donald? Many, many technical challenges here this evening. There we go. I found him. And again, just let me know if there's audio on this or not. Here he is, Donald Trump.
Hello, everyone. It's your favorite president speaking to you on a really great day of victory. 1 week ago, we had something called Super Tuesday, and it was indeed super because we won at numbers that nobody has ever seen before, records in virtually every state. And tonight, likewise, but this one got us over the top. The Republican National Committee has just declared us the official nominee. And so we're the official nominee of the Republican Party, which is a big deal. But most importantly, we now have to go on to victory because our country's in serious trouble.
Every state.
We have millions and millions of people flowing in. We have no respect on the world stage. What we say doesn't mean a thing anymore. And to have that happen is unthinkable. We have an economy that outside of certain little areas is doing very poorly. And we have something very, very important. We have a United States military that has to be taken care of. Again, this was a great day of victory. Last week was something very special, Super Tuesday. But now we have to get back to work because we have the worst president in the history of our country. His name is Joe Biden, sometimes referred to as Crooked Joe Biden, and he must be defeated. Our nation is failing. We're a nation that is in serious decline. We've never had a situation like this where we're not respected, we're laughed at, we're considered almost a joke. We're going to turn it around. We're going to drill, baby, drill. We're going to close our borders. We're going to do things like nobody's ever seen before, and we're going to make our nation's economy be the best ever in the world. We had the best economy ever just a short while ago, and we're going to have that again. We're going to have people come into our country, but they're going to come in legally, and we're going to get your energy costs down by numbers that nobody would have said even possible. We have some sections of this country that are paying the highest numbers in the history of our country and among the most expensive energy anywhere in the world. And yet we have more liquid gold, I call it, under our feet than any other nation. Just 3 years ago, we were energy independent, and now we're going around begging for energy. So we're not going to have that anymore. We're going to have a strong country. We're going to have a respected country. We have to win an election, and we should win it by a lot, because there's never been anybody worse at doing that job than Joe Biden. So we're not going to take time to celebrate. We'll celebrate in 8 months when the election is over. November 5th, I believe, will go down as the most important day in the history of our country. So start thinking about it. Start thinking about your vote, because this vote is going to be the most important vote you've ever cast. And again, for this evening and for last week and for all the weeks before, for the tremendous success we've had in this primary, I want to thank everybody. But much more importantly, we have to get to work to beat Joe Biden, the worst administration, the worst president in the history of our country. They are destroying our country, and we're not going to let that happen. Thank you very much.
Donald Trump taking a victory lap. We'll see where it goes, especially with RFK Jr. part of the equation. And we have seen from the RFK Jr. campaign team references to who his running mate might be. And the two people that it appears are getting the focus now are Jesse Ventura, former wrestler, and Aaron Rodgers, the football player. Now, I know that they were talking to Tulsi Gabbard as well and some others. And I think there might be some other candidates, you know, maybe in the mix. But these two have surfaced, you know, just over the last 24 hours as the two most likely contenders. I don't know what you guys think, but here's Jesse Ventura recently endorsing RFK Jr. And again, I'll try to monitor this audio.
I support this because I have been a person of the third party my entire political career in my entire adult lifetime. I go way back. I voted for John Anderson back in 1980. For those of you that are old enough to remember that. So I have been a third party person all my entire life. I support the third party movement. Ralph Nader had it best when he called it the two-party dictatorship.
Sorry about the
because that's what it is. And you're seeing
crazy audio.
You're seeing right now, the very reason we need to elect somebody other than Democrats or Republicans. And that reason is this. You're seeing it right now with this border bill where they put their party before the country. Bear that in mind. Democrats and Republicans always put their party first, then it's their money bag donors that give them the money. And let's see, we the people, we could end up about fourth or fifth on the list. But rest assured, it's their party first, not the country. and you're seeing that right now. They could pass this bill, but they're not doing it. Why? Because of party politics and an election coming this fall. So let everybody suffer while they put their parties first. Well, that's why we need to elect independents. I won the election in Minnesota. I took on the Democrats and Republicans. And I was talking with Bobby earlier, and I think I amazed him a little bit when I told him I only raised $300,000 to become the governor of Minnesota. I can tell you this. I made more money doing the job than what I spent to get it. There isn't an elected official in the last 100 years to a major office who can say that. I made more money doing the job than I did spent to get it. And that's what you're looking at today. This way, you talk about wasteful spending. How about the wasteful spending on these political parties? And the money that just goes down, for lack of a better term, down the toilet with this fundraising and all that stuff. I don't need that. And Bobby doesn't need it either. Bobby will make it on ideas. That's what I ran on in Minnesota, ideas. And the people responded. The voter turnout rose and went sky high in Minnesota. Bobby can do the same thing nationally. He can, if all we need is for people to believe, and I'm your example. I beat the Democrats and Republicans at the same time. They can be beaten. They can be beaten. And how you beat them is with ideas. How you beat them is with people responding to those ideas. And how you beat them is by putting America first. The United States first, not yourself. This isn't about yourself, and this isn't about your political party. It's about our country. And right now, our country needs Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
There you go. And that was Jesse Ventura endorsing RFK Jr. What do you guys think? Would he be a good running mate? Jesse Ventura? See, I can't get the wrestling thing out of my head with him. I have a hard time getting by that. So for me, he's been typecast, pigeonholed. It has become, for me, it's just stuck in my head. Or Aaron Rodgers, the football player. Again, the baggage he brings with him, I have a hard time getting past that. Just look in the chat here. Tell me what you think, and I'll just respond. Anybody have any thoughts on Jesse Ventura or Aaron Rodgers? I think that the campaign might be interested in what you guys have to say tonight. And David Moodry says, Aaron, no vax. Yes. So that's, I think, a thumbs up from David on Aaron Rodgers. Just looking in the chat here. Not too much in terms of feedback here yet. Don't know much about Ventura, says Lindy. Yeah, he was a professional wrestler and has some political experience, as you just heard. Me, both of them, I just have a little bit of trouble wrapping my head around either one of them myself. But Ventura has had some success politically. Oh. Linda says, wrestler, governor, TV host. Yeah, that's right. Another entertainer. Navy SEAL says Rab777. 1800 Talk to Me says he needs to step back in the ring and get body slammed. Yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing about these guys. It just seems like it's entertainment focused. And I do sometimes feel like we are just watching a movie. I'll be right back.
Feel the vibrations. Our quest continues. The truth is out there. We are Mavericks.
So, things just continue to stay weird. They got weird, they stayed weird, they're still weird. I think there's a lot of mental illness out there. Maybe even something more sinister going on. It is hard to put my finger on it, but we're seeing again an incident in the air. A 19-year-old student was flying on Alaska Airlines on a flight from California to Virginia last week. And we're getting a report here saying that he attempted, allegedly, but he probably did it, since we're getting the reports, attempted to storm the plane's cockpit, and he did it multiple times. So according to this report filed by a federal air marshal, Nathan Jones, a passenger on this flight, tried to enter the cockpit of Alaska Airlines Flight 322. He did it three times. They're flying in the air. He's trying to get into the cockpit. So, the flight attendants asked him why he was trying to gain access to the cockpit, and he told them, I'm testing you. What? I'm testing you. That's what he said. He said he was testing them. And so after his third attempt, the flight attendants got the help of two off-duty law enforcement officers who restrained this guy, put him in plastic flex handcuffs, and then they sat next to him, one on one side, one on the other, for the duration of the flight. When they landed, this guy said, "Go ahead, you can search my stuff," when he was asked. So they went through his personal belongings at the airport, security did, and they found multiple notebooks with information about how to operate an aircraft. It included takeoff, in-air, and landing techniques. I shouldn't laugh. This seems pretty serious. We've had several incidents like this, including people doing crazy things on airplanes. Remember the pilot who was off duty but was flying in the cockpit? And with the crew, he wasn't actually flying the plane, but reached for the levers to try to shut the engines down. We received information related to that, saying that he had consumed magic mushrooms the day before. They're sort of blaming it on that, but he'll probably never, ever fly an airplane like that again. This guy, I guess, this 19-year-old, was some sort of student pilot. He's been charged with interference with flight crew members. You could go to jail for 20 years for this. His family doesn't quite understand it. They took him away to a hospital, and they are assessing him. It looks like he may get some treatment for mental health issues. The thing is, what is triggering all of this? What's going on with people? This guy will be in court March 18th. He's being psychologically evaluated. He appears to have what a mental health worker is already describing as an apparent mental status that appears to be associated with psychiatric illness. The assessment continues. Crazy stuff, man. What's going on with people? Is it pharmaceuticals? Is it other kinds of illicit drugs? Is it stuff they're watching online? Is it a combination of these things? Is it the stress of living in this crazy, mixed up, insane world? I don't know, but it's very concerning. Titanic. The public has an ongoing, never-ending fascination with the Titanic and its story. Now we're seeing this billionaire who once again wants to build the Titanic 2 and recreate the Titanic journey, voyage. I think minus the sinking. So this is Australian mining mogul Clive Palmer. He wants to use his billions of dollars, as I say, to recreate the Titanic voyage. He went to the Sydney Opera House to announce his plans for the Titanic 2 project. He plans to rebuild the ship and retrace its original maiden voyage. Again, of course, without hitting an iceberg and without it sinking. This is the third time this billionaire Palmer has announced this project. He first initiated this in 2012, then had some problems getting it done, suspended it. Then back in 2015, he tried again. Or I guess actually it was in 2012 he first launched it. In 2015, suspended it because of some financial payment disputes. And then in 2018, he tried again, relaunched the project, said that it would be done in 2022 for its maiden voyage. Now trying again. I guess this guy's worth about over $4 billion. And the last time he tried to get this done, he cited problems associated with the pandemic, creating unforeseen delays and problems, the lockdowns, all of these problems. He says his Titanic 2 will be superior to the original. So we're going to watch this one. Pretty cool. But there's something creepy about it too. And haunting, if you will. I just don't know. In, you know, Titanic was like this gigantic ship. For many, it was like romantic. It was described by many as the ship of dreams. And then on its first voyage, the ship that they said couldn't ever be sunk hit an iceberg and went down. And so much has happened around that story since then. We saw that commercial submarine which was taking people down to look at the wreckage, and then it imploded, killing all the people on board. There's so much tragedy that is associated with the Titanic that I don't think I would want to, I don't think I'd want to take that trip. I don't know, man. Like, Do you think they would sell the tickets? My goodness. Who would want to go on that? I bet you they sell out. There are probably so many people who want to do that. What do you think? Would you guys go? Would you go on the Titanic 2 on the maiden voyage on the same route? Do you think they would take Kate Winslet and Leonardo DiCaprio on that trip? Would they? Now that would generate a lot of excitement. I bet you a ton of people would. I bet you the ticket prices for that would be just astronomical. People would pay huge money, I bet, to be on a trip like that with those two actors aboard. Talk about marketing. And me personally, no thanks. I would not want to tempt fate. Not for that. Chances of it going down, pretty slim. But, not me. Let's watch this report out of Australia. See what the mainstream media is saying about seeing how they're handling this tonight. And again, is it going to play for us?
Eccentric billionaire Clive Palmer has relaunched his plans to build the Titanic 2 for the third time in just over a decade. He's promising to build it far better than the ill-fated original, calling it a ship of love that will be a symbol of peace.
This is an epic love story between the ill-fated Titanic and our own larger-than-life billionaire.
I was dreaming last night, coming to Sydney, launching the Titanic, and I thought I was out there at sea, and I woke up and I realised I was in my bed.
But Clive Palmer was ready to refloat his boat, the Titanic 2, for the third time since 2012. Back then...
Well, I think so. We all are passing through life, you know. But of course, this ship benefits by modern radar, satellite navigation, air conditioning, proper power plant, a welded hull.
Eccentric billionaire Clive Palmer has relaunched his plans to build the Titanic 2 for the third time in just over a decade. He's promising to build it far better than the ill-fated original, calling it a ship of love that will be a symbol of peace.
This is an epic love story. Between the ill-fated Titanic and our own larger-than-life billionaire.
I was dreaming last night, coming to Sydney, launching the Titanic, and I thought I was out there at sea, and I woke up and I realised I was in my bed.
But Clive Palmer was ready to refloat his boat, the Titanic 2, for the third time since 2012. Back then...
Well, nothing's unsinkable. We all are passing through life, you know. But of course, this ship benefits by modern radar, satellite navigation, air conditioning, proper power plant, a welded hull, and it's the same as any modern ship cruising the world.
And now, the interior is the same, identical to the 1912 original, but the design is even safer. They just need to lock in a builder.
And we hope to commence construction of the ship in 2025, and the first ship will come into service, scheduled at the moment in June 2027.
Clive Palmer is used to making waves. The project has already had 15 million hits on his social media website. But he insists it's the real deal.
You'll be able to have Irish stew, you'll be able to go and do dancing, you know, on the decks. And of course, you know, when you're about one day out of New York Harbour, everybody was deloused. So we'll have a deloused time for you as well, you know? You can just strip off into your underpants and be deloused in front of another 2,000 people. Won't that be fun?
It's going to be the real experience.
It'll be the real experience. It'll bring you back to what it was really like, right?
When your dreams are this big, they're worth holding on to.
I'll never let go. I promise.
Ali Donaldson for 10 News First.
I guess we'll find out soon enough.
Yeah, no, not going on the Titanic 2. Not me. No, thank you. You know what else is sinking? Justin Trudeau's popularity. Boy, it's just like, you know, there was, you remember back when he was first elected? He was like the darling of the media. Young women, old women, all the women were swooning over him. Ooh, look at his hair. Look at his fancy socks. Well, the bigger they are, the harder they fall, right? So now the Auditor General's office has fired two employees, government employees, for taking government contracts on the side. A third employee still under investigation after failing to disclose contracts to their managers. This is what's happened. You know, during the pandemic, there were all these government contracts flying around. Money was flowing. Pretty clear at this point that the gravy train was was running full steam ahead. And, you know, you've got that ArriveCan, ArriveScan app scandal. And now we've seen, that the Attorney General, or sorry, the Auditor General, firing two employees for taking government contracts on the side while collecting their regular paycheck. So they're working for the government, then they take another contract to do some other work. It's a conflict of interest, I guess, and now they've paid a big price. And Trudeau today saying, quote, "We have seen the procurement processes and contract processes within the public service are sometimes unacceptable." No kidding. So no names here so far released, but I guess neither one was a manager or an auditor in the departments that they worked in. And we're going to see more information about this coming out. This comes just days after another public servant, you know, came out publicly claiming he took proper steps to avoid a conflict of interest when his company worked on the controversial ArriveCan app. But that is very controversial in itself. We've got this company that was set up by this guy, David Yeo, is his company name, I guess, is Dalian Enterprises. They took this, they made a bunch of money on that ArriveCan app, which was supposed to cost a fraction of what it wound up, a fraction of what the government was billed for. And that is going to be a major election issue. So that's just another little tiny development in that story as we continue to move forward. So we covered all of that and all of that and all of that. Oh, I also saw tonight that Alberta Premier Danielle Smith in Canada is saying that if Trudeau would just fire Canada's Minister of Environment and Climate Change, Stephen Guilbeault, then the relationship between Ottawa and the province of Alberta, which is Canada's oil-producing province, that the relationship there could be reset. A lot of bad blood there between Guilbeault, climate activist, climate extremist, I would say, arrested at times for his climate activism before being elected to government. He was arrested by the government before becoming the government. A lot of bad blood between him and Danielle Smith, and I think people in Alberta in general, especially people who believe in a healthy economy and a healthy oil industry. But I don't know. spiral. Okay, so what are we going to do now? I think this show, this program will be a little bit shorter than most of the programs we run. What I do want to do is take a little break. We're going to come back on the other side. We have a new episode of Maverick Knights. It's part two of the Mind Control episode that we produced and showed here about a week ago. Be about a week ago, where the where a small group of Maverick Knights go rogue, their minds controlled, and they are they're on the path to evil. But can they be saved? That's the question. Well, we'll get an update in this new episode, this new chapter in the Mind Control series of Maverick Knights on the other side.
Maverick News. The world is watching.
Okay, I'm back, and are you ready? Here we go. Maverick Knights, Mind Control, Part 2, Journey to Planet X. A band of once good but now rogue Maverick Knights, still under mind control, have been transported from a globalist cyber bunker to Planet X by Draco, the King Lizard Man and interstellar globalist. On Earth, Super Maverick Knights Sir Kevin and Lady Lori develop Electromind, a mind shield, and plan a rescue mission using this new defensive technology.
Good Knights turned rogue under mind control, captured by evil globalist supervillain Draco the Lizard Man in a secret globalist cyber bunker. Draco transports the rogue knights to Planet X, where humanoid lizards plan to their brains and forever twist their minds with Neuralink technology. On Earth, Sir Kevin and Lady Lori the Super Knights plan a rescue mission. In this cliffhanger, the Earth appears doomed, as the Super Knights, Sir Kevin and Lady Lori, gathered their allies and prepared for their rescue mission. The fate of Earth hung in the balance. Draco the Lizard Man, the evil globalist supervillain, had successfully transported the mind-controlled rogue knights to Planet X, a mysterious world ruled by humanoid lizards with sinister intentions. With their advanced Neuralink technology, the humanoid lizards planned to consume the brains of the captured knights, forever twisting their minds and turning them into loyal servants of Draco. If successful, the consequences for Earth would be catastrophic, as the rogue knights possessed immense power and knowledge that could be used against humanity. Undeterred by the seemingly insurmountable odds, Sir Kevin and Lady Lori devised a daring plan. Utilizing their own advanced technology and enlisting the help of their trusted allies, they set off on a perilous journey through the cosmos to reach Planet X. Meanwhile, on Planet X, the rogue knights found themselves imprisoned within a high-security facility, their minds clouded by Draco's mind control. As they awaited their grim fate, their inner struggle against the mind-altering effects intensified. Deep down, the remnants of their noble hearts yearned for freedom and redemption. Back on Earth, the situation grew dire. Draco's globalist cyber bunker, hidden from the prying eyes of the world, continued to operate in secrecy, furthering his nefarious plans. The fate of humanity rested on the shoulders of Sir Kevin and Lady Lori, as they raced against time to rescue the rogue knights and thwart Draco's malevolent schemes. With each passing moment, the tension mounted, and the super knights' determination grew stronger. They knew that failure was not an option. The fate of Earth and the lives of countless innocents depended on their success. As the cliffhanger unfolded, the Earth appeared to be on the brink of doom. The Super Knights faced their greatest challenge yet, pitted against an enemy who seemed unstoppable. But their unwavering resolve and the power of their bond would be put to the ultimate test in their mission to save the world and rescue their fallen comrades. Will Sir Kevin and Lady Lori succeed in their rescue mission? Can they overcome Draco's mind control and the formidable forces on Planet X? The fate of Earth hangs in the balance, and the answers lie in the next thrilling chapter of their epic adventure.
There you go. Latest chapter in Maverick Knights. Well, folks, given the technical challenges that I'm facing here tonight, which are probably even greater than you might think, based on what you're seeing here, we're going to kind of wrap things up there tonight. I did want to run that video from the teachers in Western Canada, but I'm going to hold off on that to make sure that I get it right, because there was no audio on it last night, and I don't want to do that again. It's too important. So we'll hold off on that, and we will hopefully get that to you tomorrow evening. That being said, just a reminder, you can support the program if you are so inclined, if you like what we do, by donating at maverickdonations.com. You can also support us over at freedomreporters.com. We do have t-shirts and long sleeve shirts with the Maverick News logo embroidered on it. So $30 or more and I'll send you a t-shirt, Maverick News t-shirt, or a Exile the Knights of Malta t-shirt, your choice, any color you want, as long as it's black, just tell me what size you need. And we also have these long sleeve embroidered Maverick News shirts as well. Please like, share, subscribe. Subscribe over on Rumble. That's where we need you to go. And yeah, we're running over on YouTube as well, so you can subscribe there. But we're trying to just focus a lot on Rumble. I'll be back tomorrow night, folks, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thank you, everybody, for spending your time here tonight. A privilege. Catch you on the flip side.
This has been a Maverick Multimedia production.